Stuart Lee is a multi-award-winning stand-up writer and director and a longtime friend of the show. We last spoke to Stuart, I think, in November 2014 when he was about to head out on the Room with a Stew tour. And the material he'd fine-tuned in those shows can now be seen in the fourth series of Stuart Lee's comedy vehicle on BBC Two. Stuart's back with us.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for having me. Well, first of all, are you okay? Everything all right?
I've got a cold, but I'm fine.
Oh, well, don't breathe
on
us. Yeah, stay over there. Now, this show, which sees Stuart continue to push the boundaries of stand-up comedy, really, is taking on six new subjects. Each episode is a mixture of stand-up comedy and sketches, united by a different subject for each episode. You know, there are things that we won't tackle here on daytime radio, but there's wealth, Islamophobia, death, migrants, and childhood. We've known you over the years. You don't mellow out, do you?
I get more annoyed as I get older.
What's up with you?
Well, partly it's the luxury of the fact that more people seem to come, despite the fact that it doesn't really meet anyone halfway. You know, they still keep coming, so you're able to carry on making it more extreme rather than trying to sort of rein it in.
You must find you're appealing to a wider audience now as well.
As you say, I get grandparents, parents and teenage kids all have come together for the ideal family night out. No, but I think the old people think, oh, it's a bit like Dave Allen or something. The people of my age, the parents, think it's like late 70s, early 80s alternative comedy. And the kids kind of haven't really seen anything like it because it's... I'm aware now that I'm of an older generation of comedy. So actually there's... And also, even though there's bad language, it's sparing, and when it's used, it's very, very precise, and there's a reason for it. So there's kind of... It doesn't sort of... It might offend people's ideas, but it's not going to... There isn't that moment where everyone's just sort of shocked for nothing.
When was the first time that you decided to not deliver the material in the way that a comedian would on stage?
The first time I thought about not doing comedy as a comedian would do it was when I was a teenager and I wanted to write comedy. And I didn't think I could do stand-up as a performer because back then, if you think about it, in 1982, all the comedians were big personalities. You know, Ben Elton and Alexei Sayle, and or they were the old-school guys that were also big personalities. Yeah. And then I saw this guy when I was 15, back when, if you didn't live in London and you wanted to see the alternative comedians, as they were then called, you'd normally see them opening for bands, you know. And I saw Peter Richardson, who went on to write all the comic strip things, opening for Dex's Midnight Runners in 1981.
Right.
Yeah, I know. And it was fantastic. And it went down really badly, actually, but I loved it. I remember thinking it was great. And I saw Phil Jupitus, when he used to be a performance poet called Porky the Poet, opening for Billy Bragg in 1983.
When Porky the Poet.
Yeah, and that was amazing. I'd never seen anything like it. And then when I was 15, 16, I saw this guy, Ted Chippington, opening for The Fall. And Ted Chippington's thing was that he had one joke and looked like he had no interest in being there. And he did. And it was... The audience were divided.
Yeah.
I thought it was the funniest thing I'd ever seen. It was the bravest thing I'd ever seen. You know, lots of people a bit older than me go, oh, I saw The Clash and I saw the Sex Pistols. That was my Clash Sex Pistols moment, seeing this man who didn't look like he wanted to be there doing a really unfunny joke over and over again while people booed and got really cross. And that's really, I thought, you don't have to do it like you want to do it. You know, but you don't have to do it like it's supposed to be funny.
Yeah, and then how long did it take you, would you say, to introduce yourself as that person?
Well, I don't think I got it right for 20 years.
No, come on.
No, because I think to be in my mid-30s, because I think part of the problem was that if you're that person and you're 27 and in reasonably good shape and have still got all your hair, people look at you and think, what's your problem? You know, but if you start to decay a bit, or you know, then I think you're kind of entitled to be that person.
That's true.
I think that a young person behaving like that can seem arrogant. When, as you start to get older, it looks like desperation, or you're trying to cover something up, or you've got some problem with the world. You know, so I think it really took a long time. And I was very lucky that I got enough things to sustain me, you know, during that period where I didn't really know what I was doing.
And
to
are
be
you
honest.
Fully formed now, do you think? Or you are?
Well,
you can't be. You're always changing.
No, we have to, because, of course, what happens then is my life acts upon me and changes me, you know. And so I used to think, why is he on stage? And now the reason the character of Stuart Lee is on stage is because of Mortgage and Children. And the comedy is his job, which he has to do, and he does it with bad grace because he's doing it to...
He's got to do it.
He's got to do it, yeah. And a lot of what he talks about is the mechanics of having to do this job. And some bits came up off the cuff in the series, actually, when I come to record the series, I always try and do things on the night that I've not done before and think about what the camera positions are. And there were bits where I was just turning to camera going, I hope this gets cancelled, I've had enough of it and stuff like that. Which is sort of, you kind of think that almost in the moment for real. Obviously, don't really think it. But you know,
you're thinking it, and it's part of the routine, and it's part of what you do, and it's part of who you are, and it isn't.
And it isn't, yeah. I mean, that's the other thing is you have to make a sort of separation as you get older. Otherwise, you'd go mad, you know.
I like your style. Yeah. Now, we're going to take a break here. Just a reminder, you can see Stuart in Series 4 of Stuart Lee's Comedy Vehicle. It begins tonight, actually, 9 p.m. on BBC Two. And we'll come back and round off in just a second with Stuart Lee. We're going to play this clip first, and then we'll be right back with Stuart. Here it comes.
I had a similar thing with Napalm Death. You know them? Grindcore pioneers, Napalm Death. Because I was actually at school with Napalm Death. And I used to go orienteering with Napalm Death. I did. That's not a new BBC Four programme. It wasn't square, middle class, watching BBC Two orienteering like you would do. It was second wave anarcho-punk orienteering. We had maps, but all the boundaries were crossed out. Star review in the Daily Telegraph. I did. The bloke said, normally they give you one for turning up. The bloke said that I have contempt for the public, and if I understood anything about the sacrifices people make to come and see things, I would spare them my toxic scorn. And I do understand all that, and I just did it for a laugh, really. Which is within the remit of this job, isn't it? If you think about it for a second.
All right, we're back with Stuart Lee now. And, well, you know, we like Stuart. And what we always do with Stuart is we pick apart comedy until it's just a skeleton.
And everyone's at home going, oh, don't ruin it.
Yeah, I know.
Ruined it for everyone.
I know.
What's that, Freud? What's that said? Analysing comedy is like dissecting a frog. No one laughs and the frog dies. I forget who said that.
That's someone a good old style joke. Yeah. Now, there's still time to see Stuart perform the material from the series that he's just done live. He'll do one final performance of Room with a Stew at the South Bank Centre in London on Monday, March 14th. So that's a week next Monday. And then next month, Stuart will be curating the All Tomorrow's Parties Festival at Pontins in Prestatyn, usually curated by musicians. Nothing funny in that. Stuart has handpicked the lineup for this year's festival. Well, you tell us about it. Go on.
All Tomorrow's Parties was one of the first of what they call the sort of boutique rock festivals, where instead of trying to kind of have huge names, you kind of go narrow and deep and try and attract a certain kind of fan. And obviously, I used to go to them in the late 90s when they first started, and I loved the fact that you'd see things you'd never heard of that were really amazing, and I can't believe they've asked me to do it, so it's great. And you know, it's been really interesting working with them, trying to get your budgets to balance and getting all the people. And there's some minor coups for it. We've got the first British appearance by the 13th Floor Elevators, who were a long since disappeared 60s group credited with the invention of psychedelia from Texas. Yeah, and the Sleaford Mods, who are quite a big deal at the moment, are doing it, and lots of free jazz stuff. Yeah, it's going to be really great over four stages. I'm just trying to confirm the film stage, and there's some comedy and spoken word stuff. And if you can get enough friends together, you get a chalet. So it's not like Glastonbury, where you have to camp in mud. You get to sleep in a Prestatyn Pontins chalet.
And is there a tease made above your bed?
I don't know if there's a tease made above. You know, I went and looked at it all, and I don't remember if there was a tease. There's tea available on site. You know, you can make your own
tea.
Will
there be any blue coats?
Do you know
around?
What? No one else has said that. No one's looked at the bill of astounding things that we've put together and gone,
It's important to me. Come if I can stay in a chalet and there's a tease made like the old days.
Yeah. And what were you going to say? 13th Floor Elevators, the Sun Ra Orchestra, and tease made, I'd say.
And blue coats as well, I hope.
I think, well, I'll dress up. I'm like the Billy Butlin character.
Well, you should do. I mean, I'm guessing that you probably will do that, come out in a blazer, right?
Well, you know what? I mean, it's kind of weird because obviously you're an identifiable figure, and I hope people aren't coming up to me all weekend and going, my toilet doesn't work. Can you sort it out? Know how that works.
Now, why are you doing this?
Well, they asked me, and I think it's partly because I wrote record reviews for a paper for 20 years, and I'm always at things, and I've made a few documentaries about music and stuff like that, so I think they probably thought it'd be a good fit. And also, there's not many things that come off the back of all the other stuff I've done that's fun. Most things that happen as a result of being an E-list celebrity are inconveniences to the lives of you and your children. Obviously, the money is a great comfort, but other than that, you know, it's weird. Like, people treat you in a weird way. You can't do certain normal things. We have to go to Centre Parks in France instead of Nottingham, because if we went to Nottingham, people would be wanting selfies all the time. But, you know, this is the one good thing to come out of it.
You don't want to be getting well-known in France or anywhere else.
No, well, this is partly, you know, so you want to go to America. I think, why ruin your life in another country by being known somewhere else? You know?
Yeah. So what's up then? This series goes out and you're doing that. And then when will you next tour?
Well, in May, first weekend of May, I'm doing the McCuntleth Comedy Festival in North Wales, which is a great little comedy festival that has all the arty weird acts on. And that will be the when I start getting the next batch of material together. And hopefully by May or June, the BBC will have told me if they want a fifth series. They don't normally want another one. And then something happens where they realise that they do, which is why there's always like a 3-year gap between them, because I've normally started writing another tour and then they want it. I mean, I understand it. I don't deliver a lot of ratings for them, but it gets wins awards and stuff. So obviously that negotiation goes on. And as you know, people's jobs change all the time. And I mean, during the 2 years I worked on this series, everyone that was involved in commissioning it or overseeing it has left and been replaced by other people who obviously don't necessarily have a stake. There's a weird moment about 4 weeks ago when we were in the final stages of the edit where the head of comedy left and looked like she was going to be replaced by a bloke who'd recently written a 1,000-word article in Broadcast about how awful he thought I was.
Yeah, you don't need that, do you, really?
Yeah, but then he didn't get it. So you never know, you know, from month to month. So next year, I'll be on the road with a tour that will either be a story show in its own right, or it'll be all bits of stuff that will end up being another telly series.
Well, we'll see you then. Yeah. You can see Stuart in Series 4, Stuart Lee's Comedy Vehicle, beginning tonight at 9 p.m. on BBC Two. Great to see you, and see you next time, Stuart. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
Stuart. Thanks, Stuart.